السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, also sisters listening at the madrasa and those listening over receivers. Last week, Monday night, we discussed a few incidents in the lives of different people, so that we may learn tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. As I explained, that this is one weakness of ours. Our yaqeen, our tawakkul, our trust in Allah Ta'ala is weak. And as a result, we go towards that which is haram. Or sometimes we become very greedy and we lose the balance in our lives when it comes to seeking livelihood and sustenance. We begin racing and chasing like the mad people of this world, who have no belief in Allah Ta'ala, in Akhirat, who have no yaqeen in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala being the provider of sustenance. So we also become like that, that we neither see day nor we see night. We don't see rights of people that are being trampled along the way when we are seeking our livelihood. We don't see what is the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala when it comes to our dealings, our transactions. We don't look at how forbidden the taking of interest and giving of interest is. We don't look at namaz times. We don't look at people in the family who are sick, who are ailing, who require some kind of assistance and help, or even the poor, the needy, the destitute, whether they're family members or not. We don't see anything. Greed gets the upper hand, and we just want nothing but material wealth to flow into our coffers, and we believe that we have achieved great success in life. Therefore, firstly, I again repeat that wealth itself is not bad at all. In fact, it is a great requirement of life. And if a person has to live in a good home or travel in a good car or wear good clothes or eat good food within the parameters of Sharia, he is not extravagant, he is earning halal, and he is also fulfilling the rights of others, giving the zakat and sadaqat, then we will say there is nothing wrong. That wealth then becomes the means of his gaining the akhirat. But when the person becomes greedy and the person has got no control over his greed and passion, so then definitely that wealth that will come will not bring him any kind of peace, happiness, or give him some kind of connection and bond with Allah Ta'ala. That greed will lead him to destruction, and lots of haram will then come into the system. It will taint that good wealth. Therefore, whenever we speak on these things, we must not look at one small sample of people that we know in our families or around our homes or in our society and we say we've got some very good people, finish. We must look at the world at large and look at our own hearts. For all of us who talk about tawakkul, how much of tawakkul do we have? But I repeat, the tawakkul is not that the person becomes paralyzed. He doesn't make any effort, doesn't go to the marketplace, he doesn't do any profession or job, and he sits back and waits for man and salwa to rain from the heavens. Allah Ta'ala has got that qudrat to send it down without him working also. But then he will have to have that kind of sabr. Great amount of tests will come. A person who has got rent, light, water bills to pay, now he is working for somebody and he is promised a salary of 10,000, 5,000, whatever salary. So this person knows that at the end of the month I will get so much salary. From that I will pay my rent, light, water bills. I will buy so much of food, groceries, clothing, whatever it is. Because he has got some kind of hope that at the end of the month he will get that. So either the person gets it like that, that way he works, does whatever he has to do, make use of the means, make tadbir, and then trust in Allah Ta'ala that this job, this profession, this farming or this business, they are all like pots. Whatever Allah Ta'ala will put in the pot will come out of it. What He will put into those pots, that's what will come out of it. If Allah Ta'ala will put success in there, success will come out. If Allah Ta'ala puts failure, then that business will be failure. If Allah Ta'ala puts failure, that profession will be a failure. If Allah Ta'ala puts failure, that farming will be a failure. And if Allah Ta'ala puts success, there will be a great crop. And the person will make abundant amount of money. So his yaqeen must be in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So either he gets it like that, or he says, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to do anything. So if you don't do anything, then nobody is going to come and give you exactly on time a wage packet for doing nothing. Unless of course he's a minister in the government and he has been put on suspension, then some of them carry on making millions over the years and they're still on suspension. So unless he's like that, then that's a different story. But we will then have to suffer. One person wanted to test tawakkul. So he said, I'm not going to ask anybody anything and I'm not going to work also. I'm going to make tawakkul. Because I heard one Maulana giving bayan, must have tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. So he sat down on the roadside, like how we have our garages. People come there, they stop, they have some picnic, open this picnic baskets and have some sandwiches and snacks. And thereafter they move on. So he sat somewhere where people were coming, opening the picnic baskets and going on. So he sat down there, but he said, I'm not going to ask anything, I'm going to wait. I'm trusting in Allah Ta'ala, so I don't work, and I'm not going to even ask these people that are going past. So one person came, opened his basket, he ate his food and he went away. Didn't ask him nothing. Another one came, opened his basket, ate his food, they had the sandwiches, snacks, and they also went on. Third one came, went on. Now this person's hunger increased. So he sat there. Now the next one that came, so he started coughing. So those people said, come join us, have a few sandwiches, you too. So they offered him a sandwich. So when he met this Maulana again, he said, Maulana, your bayan on tawakkul was very good. But the only thing you missed out is you have to cough a little bit. So you have to do a little bit of coughing, then you get it. So we have to do a little bit of coughing, meaning go to the marketplace, bazaar and earn it. So this yaqeen in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is the foundation. Therefore you find so many ayat of the Quran Sharif. Whether it is in a battle, whether it is at home, whether it is in the marketplace, wherever it is. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ In Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the believers, they trust Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Their trust must be in no one else except Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If you look at the ayat of the Quran Sharif, which I recited there again, that if these people turn away, then say, Hasbi Allah. For me, my Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is sufficient. La ilaha illahu. That means there is no one worthy of worship besides Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is the only Lord, only God. He is the only sustainer, provider. So he said, La ilaha illahu, alayhi tawakkal, on him do I place my trust. And he is the Lord of the mighty throne. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told to say that. So I gave quite a few incidents, and as I mentioned last week also, that these incidents we have heard many, many times. But believe me, the number of people who after that last week's bayan said that it strengthened their iman, their trust and faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So many of them. So then I realized that it is a need, that there is a need to repeat these things. So the incident that comes now to mind is the one that I mentioned in the month of Ramadan. And again, wallah, that incident really, really builds up the yaqeen of a person, the trust of a person. And that is what I'm trying to emphasize. Once we will get that, then we will get that ijmal, that jamal in our talab, wa ajmilu fi talab, that atidal, that balance, that beauty, and that abstinence from greed and hastiness and racing and chasing, all that we will get in our seeking of the livelihood if we have this trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that He is the provider of the rizq and sustenance. I gave you the incident of that ant in the middle of that rock. As Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that this is how we provide. I mentioned about the worm in the guava, that first of all, where did that worm come from? And look at the sustenance of that worm right in the middle of that guava. We didn't inject it into that guava or into that banana or into that popo or whatever it was. So the different incidents that were mentioned last week, now keep that in mind. And if you have forgotten it, then buy one tape from the Masjid-e-Noor tape library at 10 rands. And inshallah, every cent that is of profit will go to the tape library or the madrasa, and not one cent into the pocket of this speaker, so that you don't have a doubt that now we're doing some sales and business in the masjid. Nevertheless, so this is the extremely important part, that we have that kind of yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala. Believe me, if we have that kind of yaqeen, life will become so pleasant, so relaxed, that we will do whatever we have to do, but we are not going to destroy ourselves in the process. We are not going to destroy ourselves and destroy the lives of others in the 7 to 7, 7 days a week kind of thing. So that incident about that bird, or that Kurdish person, the person who was a Kurd, it's a tribe, we have the Kurds. Now this incident we may have heard 120 times, and I mentioned it also so many times, and also in the month of Ramadan. But listen to it again and again and again. It really, really strengthens the iman of a person and the tawakkul and trust of a person in Allah Ta'ala. So these people were robbers. They were gang that were operating, looting the people, hijacking and wailing. Those caravans that used to go past, that was their habit. That was their lifestyle. There were many of them like that who were in that caliber, and after that they changed their lives. So this person also, he was a gang leader. And he says that we camped at a place and now we are waiting for our prey to see now which next caravan pass here so that we can attack and we can destroy and we can loot. Says we were waiting. Says while we were waiting, I looked at three trees that were there. The two trees were barren. They had no dates. And one tree had dates. So I saw a bird, a sparrow, that was flying onto the tree that was laden with dates, plucking some date, and then flying onto the tree that had no dates. It did this about 10 times, says I watched and observed. 10 trips this bird made, came, plucked, went back. So I was inquisitive to know now what is happening on the top of the tree that this bird was flying up and down, doing sorties as they say, supplying some kind of ration and food. So there on the tree there was a blind snake with its mouth open, and this bird was bringing the date and putting into the mouth of the snake. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala providing for a snake that is blind on a tree that is barren through a bird inspiring that bird that this is what you must do now. You take from here and go and give that snake there. Allah Ta'ala was providing rizq and sustenance to that snake on the tree. Therefore, I always say these incidents when we listen to it, some new point Allah Ta'ala puts into the mind. Now, this came into my mind just now, that on the one hand, Allah Ta'ala was providing sustenance for that bird on that tree, for that snake on that tree which was blind. So Allah Ta'ala appointed this bird, you take from here and put into the mouth. So that was the sustenance which we will term as material sustenance. And on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala was making this a spiritual sustenance for this gang leader. That sustenance was for that blind snake. But at the same time, it was sustenance for this person here who was this gang leader, that now came the time for his spiritual change, for his reformation and transformation. That looking at this bird now, he got spiritual inspiration. That after watching this bird now, he says that if this bird can carry the food and sustenance of that blind snake with the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given hands and feet and intelligence, aqal, everything, why should we be such that we loot and we rob and we hijack and we murder and kill just for that sustenance? Why should we not place our trust in Allah ta'ala? So immediately he makes tawbah, istighfar, takes some dust and throws on his head and cries and tears. And of course after that they searched for those people that they had robbed and looted, to whomsoever they could have returned whatever was stolen. They did that. All that they did, the proper sharait of tawbah they fulfilled. But here we are only talking about the incident itself. So now he says that watching that bird, so they made sincere tawbah. Then when he returned to his people that were there, they said, what happened? Why are you tearing? What's all this condition of yours? He says, no, I broke my sword and I made tawbah. I'm not going to hijack anybody and loot anybody anymore. If Allah Ta'ala can provide for this blind snake, what is it difficult for him to provide for us? So they said, if that is your condition, then we are going to do the same. They broke their swords also and they said, right, finish. It's time for Hajj, or months of Hajj are around. So therefore, let us now put on our ihram and proceed for Hajj. Now this gang, that is their spiritual sustenance that came now. That blind snake got its sustenance and these people got their sustenance. So now Allah Ta'ala used this sparrow to provide for that snake. When somebody was told that this sparrow, this is how it was taking and providing for the blind snake. So this stupid said that how I wish I was that blind snake. And that sparrow would bring food and put into my mouth. So the Allah said that you are talking about being a blind snake. So why didn't you say why I was not that sparrow that was taking and providing for that blind snake? You should have said that I wish I was that sparrow that was providing for that blind snake instead of becoming a blind snake and waiting for others to provide. He said you should have said that. And if you have to look at the lives of all the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as I said, that this is what we must learn. The new lessons Allah Ta'ala gives to us from these incidents every time we listen to it. That if we take the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we take the life of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, we take the lives of all the companions of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, especially the Khulafa Rashideen, whether it was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, and all the Sahabas, take the Tabi'in, Tabi'a Tabi'in, all the Awliya of the Ummah, everyone whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed with Iman and with Yaqeen and with this great dawlat of Islam and the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and with the Akhlaq and everything else, they all were sparrows. All of them were sparrows. Not one of them were blind snakes. Even if they were physically blind, but they did the job of the sparrow. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiyallahu ta'ala was blind. So many other sahabas radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in were blind. But in spite of their blindness, now we're not talking about material thing. Now material food, etc., sometimes a person has to bring and provide for them because they are blind. They cannot go to the marketplace and do what we can do. But what I am getting at is that they were providing that spiritual sustenance that I'm talking about. that each and everyone had that kind of desire that how can I be of benefit to somebody, like how that sparrow was of benefit to that blind snake. That was their mizaj, that was their attitude, that was their nature. That if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given them anything, it was the nature to share, that's what they had. If it was ilm, they wanted to share. If it was any teachings of Islam, they wanted to share. In the same way, if Allah ta'ala provided them with material wealth, then also they wanted to share. That means their mizaj and nature now was of sharing and caring and loving and compassion and mercy and kindness. That was their mizaj now. That is the lesson we take from that. That they always sparrows in inverted commas, that everyone was doing the work of providing, providing, providing. There was no question there of how much, if you want to learn Surah Fatiha, how much. And these days that is what it is. We don't say that it is a haram and forbidden. Those ulama who are taking salaries, they have to take. If they don't take, then they'll open business. So I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about general, everyone. We should not just look at somebody that's teaching. Officially, they are allowed to take salaries. But I'm talking about the nature was this, that who can I teach? Who can I impart this knowledge to? Who can I help and assist? Whether it is with dini khidmat, or whether it is some material provision, or it is taking the person out from the vice den and from the evil dens that he has already entered. In which way can I make some khidmat of this creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Khidmat-e-khalq. That is what they were after. That became their mizaj. And when it became their mizaj like that, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provided for them from sources unknown to them. Then if they didn't have any kind of job, or if they did not have any kind of earning or livelihood because of circumstances, not that they were purposely doing that, but due to circumstances, then too Allah ta'ala provided for them from sources totally unknown. From His unlimited treasures Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provided. They had such kind of yaqeen in that Allah, that He is the provider. They could actually sense Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's closeness to their hearts. That if there was anything, they placed their heads on the ground. In nafil salat, you can make dua in the sajda. Or they raise their hands before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and they make dua. اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر اپنے مالک سے اٹھ کر کے فریاد کر دل کو سجدے میں رو رو کے آباد کر That's all they knew. Raise hands before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and beg before. So Allah Ta'ala then opened up His unlimited treasures for them. So now these people see when they gave up that haram earning, all that looting and everything that was haram, when they distanced themselves from it, now see how Allah Ta'ala provides for them. Now they put on their ihrams and they proceed in the direction of Makkatul Mukarrama. Now they're going for Hajj. On the way they stop one place, they camp. One elderly lady, old lady comes out of the tent. And she says, is there any person by this name amongst you all? So they say, yes, there is. He was our leader, there's he. But how do you know his name? The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is coming into my dream for the past 3 nights. And he's telling me that those clothes, her son had passed away 3 days. He says, those clothes of the son, because she was the only heir. Now, sometimes what they do is they take the clothes and give it away. They say, man's clothing, what are we going to do with it? So just give it away. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is coming into the dream and say, you give it to this person here. He will pass by here. You give it to him. So she took all his clothes. He must have had a lot of clothes, whatever it was, and gave it to him. And then they took the clothes, they shared it. She provided for them meals, gave them entertainment. Nice, good, hot meals, everything. And then they proceeded on the way. So this is how Allah Ta'ala now is providing. That person who was a looter, that person who was a hijacker, we will call in our terms, that person who was syndicate leader, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is coming into the dream of some pious old lady that you give this person now clothes. So where is it coming from? It's coming from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Look how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can change the whole situation. Tilkal ayyamu nudawiluha bainan nas. So therefore, why should the person then lose hope and trust? But the major lesson that we take from there, or the two lessons, very important. Firstly, it is the tawbah of the person after watching. The yaqeen of the person that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the provider of that risk and sustenance. And thereafter, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is actually providing that sustenance through sources that were unknown. Could this person ever have even dreamt that this is how Allah ta'ala will provide? And then there's a long story after that. After that, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took them for Hajj. Now all that is not mentioned in most of the stories, that how they proceeded for Hajj and what happened that side. Now, that is the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore that yaqeen, there is no need to be, as I say, racing and chasing and become really crazy in this crazy world, where there is no concern of shariat, no concern of deen, no concern of any kind of akhirat, azab, or questioning on the day of judgment. We just truly believe that we are the providers of the sustenance. And if we don't do a thing in this manner, then we are not going to be able to get our business going or our livelihood coming. Therefore, if others are advertising through haram channels, or they are using the women folk and the dirty pictures and everything else to advertise their products, or they have loud music blaring in the business houses, or they are taking interest and giving interest, or they are employing all kinds of naked and semi-naked women to be around them all the time and thinking our business is going to be boosted, then indeed sometimes the business gets boosted, but believe me, the problems of that person also get boosted. Allah Ta'ala makes the life of that person after that miserable. In the family life, somewhere along the line, that person's wealth, which is earned in this manner, brings nothing but problems, difficulties, restlessness, anxieties and worries. So this is the purpose of this majlis. Let us build up that kind of tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala, that He is the provider. If we want to take it from Him with His pleasure, then we have a choice. And if we want to take it with His displeasure, we also have a choice. Now the choice Allah Ta'ala has given to us, given us a willpower. He will provide it whichever way we want it. But the difference is this, that if it's going to come with His pleasure, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give barakat in that risk, in that sustenance, and in whatever provision we get. And if it's going to come with His displeasure, then it's going to be like the trap for the rat that we place, where a beautiful piece of cheese is there, but once it starts nibbling, then it comes onto its neck and the rat is gone. So these incidents, they strengthen our iman. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that hadith sharif again, that if a person has been blessed, if a person has been blessed with four things, then he must not regret the loss in any material things. If a person has got four things, then he must not regret the loss in any material thing. That means he mustn't think that I didn't get this, I didn't get that, I didn't get that, I didn't get that. If Allah Ta'ala blesses him with four things, with four attributes, four qualities, the mafhum of the hadith. First thing is Allah Ta'ala blesses the person with trustworthiness. That he is very, very trustworthy. You can leave billions with him, you can leave gold and silver with him, you can leave diamonds with him, you can leave your power of attorney with him, you can leave whatever you want, but the person is very, very trustworthy. There is no doubt that this person is trustworthy. In every person's mind, is that this person is trustworthy. Now that is a great sifat, especially in these times of corruption and fitnas, where a person can't trust his brother, he can't trust his father, father cannot trust the son, uncles cannot trust nephews, mothers cannot trust daughters, everyone seems to be just out to grab. There are so many of them who, upon the death of the father or the mother, since they were the only ones who knew exactly where the uplang was, or where the gold and silver was, or where some other diamonds were capped or something like that. So finish. Father passed away, mother passed away, everything disappeared. Where is it? They say, Angas. Finish. That's all they say. So we can't say that here. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows exactly who has taken it, where he has placed it. And Allah ta'ala will get it out from him. in different ways. In different ways it goes. So therefore, if the person is blessed with trustworthiness, firstly. Secondly, the person is blessed with truthful in his speech. One is to be trustworthy. That means the person is very, very trustworthy. And the other to be truthful in speech. That means there's no question of this person lying. Because it is a trait of the munafiqs and the hypocrites. So he doesn't lie. Unless on those occasions where it is permissible to lie. But otherwise he doesn't lie. To cheat anybody, to deceive anybody. That is not his lifestyle. Accidentally sometimes some person did something that can happen. It's a human being. That is not a munafiq trait that all the time. It is not like that munafiq was doing it all the time. It is sometime the person committed a mistake, he made a slip, he erred, he faltered, he committed a sin. So make plenty of tawbah istighfar. And especially this lying thing, if it has caused anybody injury, harm or hurt or deceive somebody, then return whatever is there. Ask for forgiveness. Again I repeat that. One person says, Mawlana, of course so many of them now I gave the same prescription. But the person says, Mawlana, lying, something I just can't give up. And I speak a lot of lies, at home lies, in the business lies, everywhere lies. I just can't give it up. I try but I can't give it up. I say, no such thing as cannot give it up. If you're really sincere and you want to give it up, you can. But since you are so open and frank and you are honest and truthful and you are telling me that you are wanting to come out of this problem and sin, and you're really sincere about it, otherwise you won't even tell me, but since you're trying to make your islah, so therefore do one thing, that when you speak a lie, then immediately after that tell that person that I've got one weakness, I'm a big liar. Whatever I speak, a lot of lies. And what I told you just now also was a lie. So therefore you make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He must get me out of this bad habit of lying. Because I lied to you just now also, what I told you. That's my habit. So you mustn't trust me anymore because I speak a lot of lies. And meet me after 1 week and tell me how many lies you spoke. But you must do it. If you spoke a lie, you must tell that person, I spoke a lie. That's my bad habit. And I keep on speaking lies. After 1 week, the person meets him, Mawlana, not one lie I spoke. He says, how can I tell that person I'm a big liar? So truthfulness in speech. That is the second thing. Thirdly, the person's provisions are halal. That means his earning is halal. He's not chasing and racing to just increase and amass wealth through whatever means it comes. He's concerned that it must be halal. It must be within the framework of Sharia that he does his business activities or his earning. And the person does not cheat, does not deceive, does not take interest, give interest, gamble, doesn't go to casinos and discos and all those kind of things. His earning is halal. So that is the third thing that the person has. That he's got truthfulness in speech, he's got trustworthiness, and he's got his provisions are halal. And the last thing that this person has, an attribute, which again Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, then this person must not regret any kind of loss of the material things of this world. He mustn't think that I don't have anything. Because what he's got is a great fortune. And the fourth thing is this, that he's got trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's got tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now this person has got tawakkul in Allah ta'ala, so he's got everything. Because he will now make use of the means, but he's not going to disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in any way. So if a person has got these four beautiful qualities, then he must not think that now I don't have plenty of wealth, I don't have this, I don't have that. Of course, must ask Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't say mustn't ask. But to say that we don't have anything, we always think of material things. That the person has everything. A person is making tahajjud, is making ishraq, is making namazes, and is fasting too, and is doing everything. But if he doesn't have that kind of wealth that some king or prince has, then he says, I don't have anything. He must look into his body, he must look into himself, look into his home, look into his life. How many ni'mats Allah Ta'ala has blessed the person. So we'll stop here for tonight. I was planning to go in a different direction, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whatever is good for me, for you, Allah Ta'ala puts it into mind. We don't sit here with a complete planning. We just think what to start off with. And Allah Ta'ala puts some kind of start and it takes in some direction. So this incident, although we mentioned it many times, but there is a new angle to it that everyone from the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was like that swallow that was taking and providing for that blind snake. If each and every one of us become like that, the world will be a very different place to live in, where every person wants to give, every person wants to make khidmat and service. Nobody is out to grab, then what a beautiful world that will be. But where everybody wants to grab, there's nothing but selfishness. So then you will have all wars, battles. Look at countries with billions, but still they want more land, they want more oil wells, they want more gold and silver. Look at the raid that was made on Kuwait at that time. And look at all the other battles that are being fought. What is it for? For land, for property, for gold, for silver, for government. Now this greed, there's no end to it. Therefore, the only place that a person's desires can be fulfilled altogether is Jannah. Because the khahishat of a person, the desires of a person are unlimited. And the resources of this world are limited. The khahishat and desires of a person are unlimited. Every person has got unlimited desires. And the resources of this world are limited. And in most cases, the resources of the individual himself are limited. So how is it going to fulfill his own khaisha? The person has got a lot of desires, but he doesn't have enough money. And even if he has enough, but it can't be sufficient to fulfill all his desires. That where the person wants a palace also, and he wants the best of cars, and he wants the best of clothes, and he wants the best of tours, and best of everything that everyone is having. Now his wealth is not going to be sufficient for all that, for everybody. So khaishat is unlimited. And this world is not a place for the fulfillment of all those khaheshat and desires. In this world, you make use of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, a little bit of luxury, a little bit of this, whatever Allah Ta'ala provides. The person makes shukr on it. But the fulfillment of all desires is going to be in Jannah. Where the person, whatever he will desire, it will be fulfilled. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us that kind of yaqeen in his Zat-e-Ali. And protect us and safeguard us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. May he protect us from that kind of greed which is going to destroy the person. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. يا رحيم يا كريم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Forgive each and every one of us our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. My beloved Allah, give us that kind of yaqeen on you, that the alayhi wassalatu wassalam. Give us that kind of tawakkul on you that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala mazmuhin had. Different situations, different conditions. My beloved Allah, what kind of yaqeen and tawakkul they had on you. Oh my Rahim, Kareem Allah, protect us and safeguard us from the attacks of nafs and shaitan. Safeguard us from any kind of haram coming into our system. Give us that yaqeen that you are the provider of all risk and sustenance. That your treasures are unlimited. Bless us, my beloved Allah, with tawakkul in you. Bless us with your ma'rifat, with your yaqeen. Bless us with your closeness, my beloved Allah. Make us yours and become ours. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim aur khatakar hai. غفلت میں ہماری زندگی گزر رہی ہے. Our lives are going past by Allah. The days of our lives are being whiled away, wasted away. In غفلت, in negligence, in indifference. Change the condition of our lives. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Don't deprive us of the good things of this world and the good things of akhirah. But protect us from jealousy, malice, greed, pride, arrogance. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove the difficulties with plentiful of halal rizq. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those who have children, make those children, my beloved Allah, pious and righteous. Make them the coolness of the eyes of the parents. Make us all yours and become ours. We cannot survive one breath, my Allah, without your support. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Gham tumhara dil hamara chahiye. Bahre ulfat ka kinara chahiye. Sar hamara dar tumhara chahiye. Hey, mere Rabb e Kareem, tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kaha. Where do we go? Where do we go, my Allah? Where do we go? Don't turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness. When the time of our death comes, don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication, or any kind of haram action. Bless us with shahadat in madina tayyiba, burial in maqam. If it is not muqaddar and destined there, wherever it may be, let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. From all the corruption, mischief and fitnas that he asked for protection, especially that of Dajjal. Protect us and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of mankind around the globe, especially the ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all parts of the world. You are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations, the tamanna that is in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill the good wishes, good desires. You are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of each and every individual that has raised his or her hand before you. With your fazl, with your kindness and ihsan, remove the pain, the suffering and the difficulty. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا شفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة.